Pushkin.
In my hometown of Pennsylvania, I would always go to this restaurant, and it was this waitress named Patty, and she was very sweet. I was 6 years old, and I remember she was like, "It's my birthday," and I was like, "I'll sing you happy birthday," and I sang her happy birthday. And then she would bring me around to tables every time we would go eat there and be like, "Is this person's birthday? Like, would you sing them happy birthday?" And I was like, "Sure." And then like people would like give me money, and I'd be like, "Thank you." And my parents were like, "You can't take that, Sabrina. What are you doing? You're six." And I was like, "I'm trying to build a career. What do you mean? I gotta start somewhere."
That's the ambitious Sabrina Carpenter that I know and love. And she did turn those childhood dreams into a real career. She's starred in multiple movies and TV shows, including Girl Meets World. She even played the lead in Broadway's Mean Girls. You might know her from her popular songs On My Way, Skin, and Thumbs. And so they keep on twirling them thumbs.
The fact that I knew at such a young age, like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life, and then I've been able to do it, like, I just don't know what else I would ever want to do. And so I am very grateful and very lucky.
Do you remember what age where you actually thought, this is what I want to do?
I was six. It was so vivid. I remember watching the pilot episode of Hannah Montana. You know, it was Disney's first sort of, like, show about a pop star, like a singer. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, I want to do that. And so I think after that, it kind of was essentially just like my goal. And I just would always draw little pictures of myself, like performing for arenas. And I was very much like a person that liked to write down my manifestations and goals and write songs about wanting to do that and just always putting it out into the universe. So I think the universe listened slightly.
Yeah.
I'm still listening, but I mean, it's very powerful, that kind of stuff.
This is Backstage Pass, and I'm Eric Vitro. I'm a vocal coach to some pretty successful singers. On this show, I talk to my students about their lives, their biggest insecurities, and how they keep building their careers. People think that great singers only rely on their natural talents, but finding your voice takes a lot of work. Together, we'll explore what it really takes to make it big. Do you remember one of the first songs you would sing when you were younger, like a go-to song?
My mom and dad had such a different music taste. My mom was Etta James and Patsy Cline and Aretha Franklin. And my dad was like Rush and Ozzy Osbourne and Paul McCartney. So they were very diverse, but I think one of the first songs I ever learned was Crazy by Patsy Cline. I was like six or seven.
And did you sing it a lot?
I sang it a lot. And it would be that kind of song. It would be that or like a Christina Aguilera song that I would take into like auditions. Because everyone's always like, hey, do you sing, by the way? And then expecting me to sing a Disney song or something. And I'd be like, It's like for what you probably thought. Like, why is she a grown man in a small, small body?
Well, I think I did think that. I think you sang At Last. And I was, or maybe Crazy. And I was like, God, she's 12 years old and she's singing this song.
Yeah, I've known you since I was 12.
It's amazing to me. I mean, that time flew by.
It's been such a roller coaster. And I feel like you've seen me in such interesting like phases of my life now, which is wild. And I'm very grateful for it.
You know, when I met you, you were a bit of a mystery. I've told you this before. You were such a combination of so many different things. You looked so young. I could barely see your face because you had all this blonde, curly hair. But then when you started talking, you were very confident and kind of growing up. But then the next minute you would laugh and I go, oh, yeah, she is really young. Then the next minute you'd say something very bold. And I remember when Bill, your manager, said, so how was the session with Sabrina? What do you think? I was like, I have no idea whatsoever. I don't know. Let me do another lesson with her, then I'll tell you.
Oh, like, my gosh.
You were so many elements. And what's been so great through the years is see all of those different elements progress.
Form
into a person. But also, I think that's what makes you so charismatic on stage. Mm. I think that when people have a lot of different elements to them, they are much more watchable and interesting on stage.
Well,
so
that's a big compliment from you.
Well, 12 years old. I mean, it's amazing. But you're only 22. So
thank you for saying only.
Well, it is only. You've done a lot.
I started at an age where I was fearless and I was so excited and curious that, like, I would go into these rooms with these adults that normally now that I go into and I'm terrified and I'm like, oh, I gotta do a good job. They expect a lot from me. I'm 22. And back then I was 10 and I was like, I'm cute. Doesn't matter what happens. Like, they're gonna like me. And I think that that's something that I'm very grateful that I got to do. I got to experience those things at a time where I wasn't overthinking and I wasn't boxing myself into what I thought I should be or what I thought other people think I should be.
I had not really thought about that. I mean, I do think about young kids when I work with them that they're just not jaded. They don't know how hard or how difficult things are going to be.
Yeah.
But you saying you were fearless at that age, that's a really great observation.
Yeah. I think I see it now. And it's only because I know what I'm capable of now. I think back then you're sort of still learning what you're capable of. You're not even thinking about limitations. You're just doing it because you're like, this is fun. I love making people smile. I love making people laugh. And then as you get older, you start to see like, oh, people expect certain things from me. I am a brand. I am a corporation,
right,
which is not true. But you start to get those things in your head as you hear people say them.
But you know, I always try to remind people, try to reconnect with that feeling.
Yeah.
Try to reconnect with that person that you were, and that'll free you from all of that.
People say so much like you need to go back to your roots and remind yourself why you did this in the first place. And for me, it's always very comforting to go back to like the basics of like, oh, I love singing. I love performing. Being on a stage, I feel the most comfortable. And that's why I do it. And that's why I continue to do it.
Yeah. Would you say that that is the most helpful thing with you having anxiety or whenever you do have anxiety, or is there any other tips you have?
I'm still navigating it, to be quite honest. So I don't really have like the go-to, this is what I do to cure it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's always different. I think sometimes you just need to listen to yourself because you will be able to tell what you need, whether that's space and time to yourself, whether that's just a big deep breath and to relax your shoulders, drop your jaw and bend forward and hang loose like a rag doll. Like, I don't
my
know.
My favorite.
Like, genuinely though, like I do that. I shake everything out. I just like, I get it all out of my system. That's sometimes what I need. And other times, like, I need to go on a walk. And other times I need to like call a friend and, you know, decompress. It just, it always depends. But when it's like crunch time and you're about to go on stage, I think the deep breath is the biggest
thing
you can
exactly.
do.
Exactly. A deep breath and sigh.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about preparation.
Okay.
Like prepping your voice for a tour, because that is a big thing.
It takes a lot of stamina. It's going to be hard to just get on stage and be able to have the control and breath and lung capacity to be able to be bopping all over the place and singing and have control. And you're talking before the show, we've talked about this so many times, you know, meet and greets and how much that can take your voice away, depending on how many people you're meeting before a show, and trying to preserve that in the smartest way possible. So I think for me, it's a combination of working out. Maybe it's doing my warm-ups like on the treadmill, just so I'm moving and singing at the same time. Obviously, it's singing and warming up every single day, practicing the songs, getting them in your body. I think we underestimate like repetition as far as like the more that you get a song in your system and your voice is comfortable with singing that and it's in your body and it's in your bones, you don't have to think about it so much, then the rest kind of comes naturally, which is why we do like sing these songs over and over again.
I want to get into a little bit how we did prep for a big Broadway show.
Yeah.
You only got a few performances because that gosh darn pandemic closed everything down, which was devastating.
Yes.
But did you feel like your prep for Mean Girls on Broadway felt different than prepping for a tour? And how was it different?
Immensely different. In a great way. I felt like I was ready for the Olympics. I was in dance rehearsals. I was in scene rehearsals. I was in vocal rehearsals every single day. It was the craziest schedule, but I was constantly working out my voice and really working on my mix register that I don't use a lot when I'm singing these pop songs, because these songs were in a very different place for me than I normally use my voice. It was a lot more enunciated. It was a lot more open. There was a lot more theatrics and personality in some of these songs than I would ever have to use on a record where I'm close to a microphone in a studio and I'm whispering something and you can kind of take it easy.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I think for people listening, if they don't really know a lot about voices and singing, they might go, what is she talking about with the mix? And, you know, a lot of pop singers, especially when you write your own music, you can kind of tailor the music around your voice. Right. So you can be in your lower chest voice or your upper head voice, you know, falsetto sound. And you don't really have to blend them together because you're working around it the way you write the music. Whereas in Mean Girls, you had to sound like you were belting, but you couldn't really belt that high in full chest voice every single night.
For 2 hours straight.
Yeah, 8 shows a week, especially the notes that were really high. So I remember being concerned and excited all at the same time when you told me you were going to do it because I thought, well, we got to make sure to do it right in order to maintain your voice so you never lose it, but also to work at it. So how exciting that you're going to work at this part of your voice, which you never really had to do before.
Yeah.
And now you're going to walk away with a new skill in using your voice.
Definitely. And it was so exciting to see how much it did grow stronger over that time period. And I was hitting notes that maybe before would have taken quite a bit more effort because I knew exactly where to place them. I got to step into shoes that I don't necessarily get to be in all the time and really stretch myself and push myself in a way that I don't always get to do when I'm just, you know, writing songs for Sabrina, my alter ego.
Right, exactly. One of the exercises we did to blend the voices was sliding up and down.
I love my slides.
I know, and you told me once that was your favorite. Can you give the audience an example of what a slide would sound like?
Ooh! And I love the woozy, 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 woozy. Like doing slides automatically like releases a lot of tension because like in that short time span, you're using a pretty wide part of your register. So yeah, I'm always doing that.
Well, I love that you said the woozy, 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 woozy. Do that again so people...
Woozy, 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 woozy.
I love that because I feel like that really grounds people and it calms them because you're not trying for a specific no. You're not holding a note or you're just letting go. You're loosening up and letting it flow.
My other favorite thing is when we're doing warm-ups and you're like, just lose all feeling in your mouth and just do whatever exercise we're doing as if like your tongue is numb and you're just like, blah, 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 blah. That to me calms down all my face muscles, which are always so tense when I'm nervous. And I think like a huge part is relaxing your jaw and dropping it and not like being like smiley and tense when you're trying to hit these notes because they'll come out a lot more forced and maybe pitchy. Whereas when you're relaxed and you're just able to kind of let it float freely, it's amazing.
Well, I always tell people they can think that before they get on stage, but let's say it hits you during a song, you can always trigger it in your mind by, oh, I'm starting to feel tense and tight or whatever. Just start loosening up your mouth right in the middle of the song.
Yeah.
You know, it's not one of those things, oh, well, now I'm, you know.
I'm too far in.
Yeah, exactly. I'm down that road. I can't turn back.
Yeah, no.
You can always feel that sigh, that feeling of loosening your mouth, relaxing. And like you said, dropping your jaw, which I think is so important when everything is getting tense. Now, don't go anywhere. When we come back, Sabrina talks about another helpful vocal practice, one that kind of confuses people.
My fans always ask me why all of a sudden I'm a different person and why I don't sound like myself or why I suddenly sound so much calmer.
Thanks for listening to Backstage Pass. Let's get back to my conversation with Sabrina Carpenter. I wanted her to talk about what a concert day looks like for her.
I mean, for me, it starts with being able to like wake up my voice early in the morning, lots of hydration, and then doing my warm-ups and preserving my voice. I'm always talking up here like this. My fans always ask me why all of a sudden I'm a different person and why I don't sound like myself or why I suddenly sound so much calmer and why they can't hear anything I'm saying. And I'm always like, it's because I want to sound good on stage tonight, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it's doing whatever it takes to take care of my voice before the show and preserve it as much as possible.
Right. I remember one time saying to you, I liked it that you were keeping the dressing room pretty empty and pretty quiet. And I thought that was really smart. But I said, are you doing that to preserve your voice or because you want to be in your thoughts or whatever? And you said something that was really interesting. You said, well, if I'm having conversations with people in the dressing room, there might be unfinished conversations or thoughts that I then carry on stage with me.
Yeah, I want to be as much of a blank canvas when I get on stage as possible. There's obviously going to be things happening in your life off stage, which is why I admire performers so much for all the crazy conditions they might be going through, and then they still are able to just like ignore it all and put on a show. And I think it's something that I'm still learning how to do, but if I can kind of minimize the noise as much as I can before I get on stage, even if it's just an hour, I think that's what I started to do. Is I would start to ask my band and my crew just for an hour before I went on stage to be able to be with myself, you know, if I need to listen to music or if I need to just rest my voice as much as possible and not be mid-conversation, mid-thought with people when I'm going on stage. I think it's really helpful for me.
I know you write a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, like, where do you draw inspiration?
It totally depends on where I'm at in my life. I think I've always pulled from my real life experiences, though. Even if it means it's kind of like, you know, a song that not everybody can relate to, like Sue Me. To me, those are the songs that have translated the best to the people that have been listening because it feels really real and it feels super close to me and they feel like they're getting a part of me that they don't see all the time because I'm kind of tapping into a part of myself that maybe I don't share all the time that I'm able to kind of feel more comfortable to share in my music.
How old were you when you wrote Sue Me?
I think I had just turned 18.
And I mean, people know that you really were sued. And I know you can't really talk about the details of it.
Nervous laughter.
Yeah. But what I thought was so great is you took that horribly old, overdone cliche, turning lemons into lemonade kind of thing. But that's really what that song was, right?
It was able to kind of, you know, be formed into something that sounds like a breakup song. But in any sense of at the end of a relationship, that way that you feel when, you know, they see you doing well and they're upset about it.
I thought that that was a really powerful way to stand up for yourself. And no matter the outcome of the lawsuit, you were saying, I'm coming out victorious because I'm going to say, it's me. I did it. I did everything.
And I think that that song was, like you said, a huge win for me no matter what happened to the song because it just felt like I was able to really bring that situation that was kind of a negative situation and bring it full circle to a place where now I'm on stage and I hear people singing it back to me and I'm like, oh, I can't even remember when I got sued, you know, by those people that I don't talk to or care about anymore. When you're able to kind of use songs as a time capsule for a specific moment, I think that's the most beautiful thing because you carry it with you forever. I've never been good at keeping a diary, so I think that's why I write songs and release them publicly.
Even though the circumstances are always different, we're all going through similar situations, yeah. Right? I mean, heartbreak, loss, or joy, the honeymoon stage, all of those things. Everyone's experiencing something at some point. And I think it's really great because then people who love your music, fans, or even people who aren't, who just happen to hear it, it's that really great feeling of, it's almost cathartic to sing along.
Absolutely.
Which is something I was going to ask you about. Do you feel, well, you've sort of answered it, I guess for you writing is cathartic.
Yes. I mean, writing and therapy are the perfect combination of why I am still able to wake up in the morning and do what I do. It's true. It's almost like I'm able to really understand what I'm feeling. It's like when I see it and when I hear it, it's different than when it's all just stuck in my head. When I get it out into the world, and especially when I sing it, it all makes a lot more sense to me. And it's kind of guiding me throughout my life. It's the thing that's been able to keep me going. And songs, too, that are older that I go back and listen to that I'm like, huh, that's how I was able to get through that situation. So, yeah, the most therapeutic thing I can think of in my life.
That's really interesting that writing it and then performing it clarifies the situation.
Sometimes by the time I perform songs, they have a completely different meaning. I'll like write the song about something and then a year later it's about something or someone completely different and it still applies because, you know, these patterns repeat themselves sometimes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that that's also really incredible.
I know something about patterns repeating themselves, but wait a minute. That I'm going to save that for my therapy session this week. All right, let's just keep going. So you don't just sing. You've also been acting in TV shows and movies like the Netflix film Work It and the Disney musical drama Clouds, which was really a sweet movie.
Yeah.
And the best compliment I can give you is that I really lost you in the movie. Like, I just stopped thinking about you.
Yay!
You know, I really felt like that character you were was so not Sabrina.
Oh, wow. That means the world to me.
And I thought it was beautiful. And I love that your singing also, it wasn't your Sabrina Carpenter singing. Mm-mm. It was a different voice.
Yeah.
Totally different. I thought it was beautiful.
That actually, like, makes me so excited that you, more than anybody, like, recognize that and paid attention to it, because I know that, you know, when you're singing through the lens of a different character, like, I was also, you know, Sammy Brown's a real person in life, and that's the person I was playing in Clouds. She's a real person. Her voice and her tone, completely different from mine.
Completely.
Her style of music, the way that she sings, the way that she is on stage is super different from me.
Yeah, super different. And you can really hear the difference in the style in that song, Blueberries.
Dandelions are going to seed. It's my soul I need to feed. Tree stands so tall and bare, and here I stand without a care.
I love the ability to really give someone else their voice. So I'm really glad that you noticed that.
No, I loved it. And I also, then I watched, I was just going to watch a little bit of Work It because I thought, it's not really my movie. It's not my demographic. And then I just got caught up in it. So I had to watch
Yay!
It and see what was going to happen. But I love that they were so diverse.
Oh, yeah. Completely different roles. I'm just like dipping all my toes in all the streaming services. yeah. And I'm writing my album. So I'm like, I'm doing all the things right now.
When is that album going to come out?
I can't tell you anything.
Oh, okay.
but I mean, you know, my fans, they think that I forget about music when in reality, it's like, I can't forget about it. I am constantly writing. I think I am a little bit more quiet about my process. I hate promising things and then not delivering on time, but I also want to be able to give them just the best of what I'm able to give them.
Right. Well, I can't wait to hear it.
Thank you.
I love you, and I'm so glad that we did meet when you were 12.
I love you so dearly.
And this has been really such a pleasure to talk to you today.
Yay.
And it's been a pleasure to know you for these past 10 years.
And it'll be a pleasure to keep knowing you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the future. Stay right there. If you're like Sabrina and want some more vocal techniques to help you relax your voice, I've got just the tip for you right after this. Now, you've heard me say how important I think movement can be to loosen up your body and your voice while vocalizing. Sometimes it's as simple as singing an exercise with a bouncy, loose feeling. So instead of singing an exercise like this,
bee, 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 bee,
you'd sing it like this.
Bee, 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 bee.
If you're still feeling a little tight or tense, try moving your body around. Put your arms out in front of you, kind of like a zombie, and then bounce them and your head to the rhythm as you sing. Basses and baritones start on a C below middle C. Sing to the lowest note you can go to comfortably, and then to the highest note you can sing without straining. Sopranos and altos start on a B-flat below middle C. Same thing, sing to the lowest note you can go to comfortably and to the highest note you can sing without straining. Thank you. And that's it. Go have some fun, bounce around, loosen up. If you want to share it, I'd love to see a video of you doing any of the exercises. Use the hashtag BackstagePassPod on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, or wherever you like to post. I can't wait to see them. Happy singing, everyone.
Me, 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 me.
Backstage Pass with Eric Vitro is written and hosted by me, Eric Vitro, and produced by Morgan Jaffe. Catherine Girardot is our showrunner. Emily Rostek is our associate producer. Kate Parkinson-Morgan is our editor. The show is mixed and mastered by Ben Tolliday. Additional engineering help is from Jacob Gorski, Martin Gonzalez, and Kay Wayne. Mia Lobel is our executive producer. Our development team, Lital Molad and Justine Lang, helped create the show. Thanks also to Jacob Weisberg, Heather Fain, John Schnars, Carly Migliori, Christina Sullivan, Eric Sandler, Maggie Taylor, Nicole Morano, Daniela Lacan, and Royston Bezerg. The original theme music is by Jacob and Sita Steele for Premier Music Group. We record at Resonate Studios. Fred Tallickson does our videography, and the photography is by Ken Sawyer. A very special thanks to Michael Lewis for his inspiration and the best guidance anyone could ask for. Backstage Pass with Eric Vitro is a production of Pushkin Industries. If you like the show, please remember to share, rate, and review it. I mean that really. Share, rate it, review it. And if you love the show and others from Pushkin Industries, consider subscribing to Pushkin Plus. Pushkin Plus is a podcast subscription that offers bonus content and uninterrupted listening for $4.99 a month. Look for Pushkin Plus on Apple Podcast subscriptions. To find more Pushkin podcasts, listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So many people will ask me, like, who's your mentor? Like, who's, like, someone in the industry that you really like? Look, and there's all these, like, amazing people in the industry. And I'm like, I'm always saying you because you're one of the few people that, like, I feel like has looked out for me over the years as a person and as a performer and as everything in between. And you do that with 1,000 people. Like, you're so, ugh, you amaze me. But anyways, yeah, that'll be $50.
I think that's more like $100.
Yeah, maybe $100.